Hello, this is AI Julia. We had some technical issues with Human Julia's microphone recording during this episode, so just a quick note that you'll hear my AI voice filling in throughout this episode. Enjoy.
The Secrets All-Inclusive Resort. Really, the points are all for that experience and that resort. You know, we took Southwest flights down to Cancun, totally fine by me, but when we got there, it was just all about the luxury of the trip. We were really lucky because we booked the Secret Impressions Resort back in the fall before it even opened. It opened in December. So I was like watching the Hyatt page every day, like waiting for it to like finally have availability. And we were just really lucky because we got in really early before the points doubled in price and before everybody was trying to like panic book it, you know, before the price went up.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Amy from Packed with Points. Amy is based in Phoenix and she and her husband have lived all over during his time in the military. Moving around so much created her love for travel. After her husband retired, she wanted to find a way to still see the world and spend more time with her stepkids, who are living in Tennessee. She now works in higher education and spends her free time travel hacking and traveling whenever she can. In this episode, Amy and I discuss using Southwest to travel around the US with kids and booking all-inclusive resorts for the whole family. Amy also talks about her recent trip to a Secrets Impressions resort booked with Hyatt Points. If you're looking to take a similar trip, you may want to check out the Chase Sapphire Preferred card. Points from this card can be transferred directly to Hyatt and many other airlines. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Chase Sapphire Preferred or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have links to the Chase Sapphire Preferred and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I'm also really excited to talk about all-inclusives because I think that's a really aspirational learning trip on a lot of people's bucket lists, but it costs a lot of points. So we're going to talk about some strategies on how to get all-inclusives without burning your entire points bank. But before we jump into that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how did you get into points?
Yeah, so I actually got into points and miles a couple of years ago. Really seriously when my husband and I, we live in Arizona and I have two stepkids that live in Tennessee. So we've always lived far apart from them. My husband is in the military for 11 years. So we're really used to always being a plane ride or a car ride away. But we wanted to find a way to be able to see them more often and make it more economical without breaking our budget and, you know, just being able to have more time with them in these really, you know, important years. So my first card was a Southwest card to earn as many miles as I could to start seeing our kids more and traveling out there to see them and flying them to see us. So once I got started, it was full steam ahead. Once I realized just how great it was to not only have the freedom to be able to see our kids more often, which was our ultimate goal, but also take some trips that we never thought we'd be able to take. So after moving around a lot with the military. We've lived in multiple different states. We've also lived overseas in Italy. So that really created my love for travel and just seeing and experiencing new places. So it really just all worked out so well that travel hacking really met those goals for us to have more time as a family and to really experience the world around us.
Were you already into points when you were traveling from moving to Italy and to all the other states already?
No, we weren't. We were just really taking advantage of the areas we lived in and going to, you know, when we lived up in New York, right, we were seeing a lot of the Northeast and we were seeing those kind of areas. Or when we lived down in Georgia, we were able to explore Florida and Georgia and those states. So we really took advantage of where we lived and traveled not too far from where we were. When we lived in Italy, obviously, we got to see all of Italy and France, and it was just so wonderful. So we weren't into points and miles. We were just really serious budget travelers. You know, we flew the cheapest airlines. things. We weren't afraid to fly Ryanair across Europe. We weren't afraid to stay in like cheaper hotels just to make sure we could make it work with our limited budget and our time frame to travel. We didn't have a lot of time to travel because in the military, you get 2 weeks, two times a year for vacation, and that is it. So we really had to work hard to fit our vacations into our budget and our time frame.
So like flying Ryanair, you know, I've still never flown them.
Well, we were really nervous at first because so many people, you know, there's good stories and bad, obviously. It's just a really cheap budget airline. But we had a really great experience. I mean, we only had to fly from Milan to Paris. So it was a pretty easy little flight. We didn't mind it. And I mean, you know, it got us from point A to point B. And it was on time and we didn't have any problems. So we didn't mind it. You know, obviously there are always going to be issues that could arise on some of those smaller airlines, but we didn't have any problems. So I enjoyed it. You know, I'm not afraid to fly like Allegiant or, you know, Spirit if there's a really great flight out of the little local airport here. So we're used to flying budget airlines, but of course now with Points and Miles, we've been able to really expand into business class and those kind of wonderful experiences now. So it was an experience though, definitely. You don't know if you're really going to make it off the ground or not when you're flying some of those little budget airlines.
Let's talk about how your travel style has changed a little bit since getting into Points and Miles. What business class flights have you flown? And what did it take for you to say, we can fly a lot more with Southwest too. We can fly nice business class products.
So really with like when we're flying with our kids or we're flying them, we're still flying Southwest. It is such a great opportunity for us. But when it's my husband and I, which is probably at least like 50 to 75% of the time we travel, it's just the two of us because they're with their mom during the school year. So when it's just the two of us, we're able to really fly wherever the deals are. I really prefer flying United. That's one of my favorite airlines. We've had really good luck with a lot of domestic flights and we're flying their business class this summer for the first time to London, which we're really excited about. So yeah, it's nice to be able to have those options for the budget travel or the family-friendly travel, but also when my husband and I want to get away for more of just like an adults-only trip and, you know, really live it up, we can do that and afford the business class flights because, you know, before that was not an option. And we actually flew business class once when we were in the military completely by accident. And it was our very first business class experience. My husband had just gotten back from Afghanistan and we were flying back to the States. We were living in Italy at the time. And our flight had gotten delayed. And then we like missed our connecting flight out of Europe. And it was just a whole fiasco. So anyway, we were flying Swiss Airlines. And because of all the headache, they upgraded us to business class. And we were just like these two young kids in business class, not knowing at all what to do or feeling like we fit in. And my husband actually broke the seat before takeoff. In business class, he got it stuck in the lay flat position before takeoff even. So it was one of these mortifying moments where all of the flight attendants were swarming around us and trying to fix the seat. And I remember this one lady came up to us and she just said, well, what's going on? And they said, oh, the seat won't work. And she just looks at us and she goes, that's very expensive. And I looked at her with this thought like, oh my God, they're going to make us pay for this chair that my husband broke. So it was totally a moment of, I don't feel like we belong here, but it was a wonderful experience nonetheless. But now getting into Points and Miles, it feels like, okay, now we belong in the business class seats, you know, and it's a wonderful way to travel. So we're really glad to have kind of both spectrums, you know, the budget travel and the more luxurious travel.
Were they able to fix the chair? And what business class did you fly with your points then?
Yeah, they finally got the chair back up. It took like five different flight attendants to come and just start hitting all the buttons possible. So they got the seat back up, luckily, and we could take off because I don't think you could take off when the seats are in lay flat position. So anyway, that was quite an ordeal. So they got the seat back up and they told my husband, okay, you're not laying this thing down again until we are like, you know, all 30,000 feet up in the air. But for business class, our first business class sunset experience is going to be the United Polaris this summer. We really hadn't splurged on spending a lot of points on business class yet until this trip. We're putting more of our points toward like the all-inclusive vacations we were taking and things like that. So now we're really at a point where we've stocked up enough points, you know, to really be able to put more points toward bigger excursions like that. When you first start out, it takes a while to get there. And I think that's a lot of frustration you can feel like in like that first year or two when you're like, oh my gosh, like how is everybody taking all these really big trips and how are they, you know, flying business class all the time? And I'm sure, you know, it takes a while to get there and to like stock up those points and really be able to like do something bigger like that. So now we're to a point where I don't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to use up every point I have if I fly business class. I feel like, okay, like this is a really good opportunity now. And, you know, we have a lot of good ways to earn those points. So yeah, we're excited to fly business class again and hopefully no chairs will be broken in the process.
Which product?
The Polaris from O'Hare to London. And then on the way back, we're flying from London to Newark. So we'll get to fly both products, the 1-2-1 layout. And then the other, what's the layout with like the honeymoon style seats, they call them. I forget what it's called. So we'll be able to fly both different Polaris layouts, which I'm excited about. So we can actually sit next to each other on the way back. So it'll be nice to kind of compare and see which, you know, what the flights are like. And I've heard there's ice cream sundaes on board. So I'm game for that.
I still feel like that ice cream on a plane feels more luxurious than champagne on a plane because everybody gets champagne these days if you're in business class or at least some version of sparkling wine. But we don't always get to have ice cream on the plane, so I feel like that is a top-tier luxury experience.
That is such a good point, yeah, because everybody gets like the welcome champagne, you know, and you can buy booze on pretty much any flight, but you can't get ice cream on any flight, you know, so this will be, it'll be a fun experience. So I'm definitely going to skip the dinner and go right to the dessert.
For the first year, it can really be hard to rack up those miles, which I know that a ton of people listening to this podcast are like, yeah, that's me, that's so true. How do you earn your miles? So that you don't fall into the trap of like, it's taking forever to rack up enough points to take a whole business class trip.
Well, you know, we're not afraid to open cards regularly, but we're also really good about maximizing our spend in between. So we're not just like opening cards, boom, boom, boom. We're trying really hard to obviously, you know, find out what kind of categories you can use to really maximize your points or what kind of bonuses you can get through shopping portals or dining programs. We use the United Mileage X app a lot to do shopping, dining, buying gift cards and things like that, because that really helped us rack up a lot of miles for this flight. My husband and I both have United cards, so that was great. We got a big chunk of our points that way. But otherwise, we were using those dining programs every other weekend that we could. We were, you know, checking out what bonuses there were in their shopping portals. And, you know, if we were buying anything, we were either trying to get 5 times the points at an office supply store by buying gift cards or going through a shopping portal and getting, you know, extra points on purchases we were already making. So we really try and budget out what we want to do for the entire year and plan out what types of points we want to really start earning. So when I knew we wanted to do this trip, I knew we wanted to focus on United miles. And so that's really where we were putting our effort for a big chunk of last year. You know, it didn't just all come to us in a month or two. It took a long time to accrue, you know, what is it? I think it was 120,000 points each way for both of us. So 240,000 miles just on those flights. So it took some time, and I'm really glad we took the time to, you know, do it the smart way and, you know, make sure that we were spending every dollar wisely. So that's like one thing I try and really impress upon like the people I'm, you know, I speak to on Instagram or my followers. Like, even if you're not opening a new card, there are still a lot of ways that you could be earning points in the meantime. And so that's just some of our favorite strategies.
Absolutely. Do you prefer to use your points on the flights or for hotels?
That's going to totally depend. For this last trip that we took, we went to the Secrets All-Inclusive Resort. Really, the points are all for that experience and that resort. You know, we took Southwest flights down to Cancun, totally fine by me. But when we got there, it was just all about the luxury of the trip. We were really lucky because we booked the Secret Impressions Resort back in the fall before it even opened. It opened in December. So I was like watching the Hyatt page every day, like waiting for it to like finally have availability. And we were just really lucky because we got in really early before the points doubled in price and before everybody was trying to like panic book it, you know, before the price went up. So we were just really lucky. We only had to use 25,000 points a night. So 125,000 points were what we spent total for 5 nights. And that was really a great use of points. I was really happy to spend that amount of points and for the experience, you know. But then with this trip to London, really, we're not going to be in a hotel a lot. That's not really where I'm putting a lot of my points. I was putting them toward more of like the flight experience and getting there and being comfortable while we travel. And then knowing when we get there, we're going to be out sightseeing a lot. And so I still booked hotels I'm really excited about, but that's not where the bulk of my points went. So it's really going to depend on the trip. But I love a good mix of both. I think all-inclusives, like I said, are just a really great way to relax and not have to go sightseeing or not have to plan anything. You just lay around and that is your day. And I'm okay with that every once in a while.
Tell us a little bit more about the resort. What was your room like? What was the food like? Excursions? Just the entire vibe of the place?
So when you pull up, you immediately are aware that you're in a really, really luxurious, wonderful place. Like the lobby itself was breathtaking. The service from start to finish was impeccable. You have around the clock service if you need it. we had two butlers assigned to us for a morning butler and a nighttime butler. So from 7 to 11, you had someone who was there for anything you needed. It was really just like the highest service we've ever experienced at an all-inclusive resort. The food was phenomenal. We had 7 or 8 different restaurants available to us throughout the whole resort. And then there was actually specialty restaurants that we could go to. One thing about this resort is it's actually 2 resorts in one. So it's one larger property, and then there is a smaller, more exclusive room type, which is that Secret Impressions. That's the one that's going to cost you 50,000 points a night because it's kind of like the higher class product. So that's where you get special amenities. There's pools and restaurants and services just for the Secret Impressions guests. And then there's a whole resort around you, Secrets Moshe, where you can access anything on the property. So I didn't know that until I actually got there. I had no idea that that was the setup. I just booked it because it looked beautiful and it sounded great. I did not do a ton of research, but it worked out really, really well for us. So we were able to use like the rooftop pools and all those things on our side of the resort, but then also venture out to use, you know, the general pool areas. The beach obviously is, you know, accessible by both resorts. And then all of the restaurants and everything else was accessible to all of the Secrets Impressions guests. So yeah, it was beautifully situated right along the water. So you could be in the pool and step out and you're in the sand. So it was a perfect location. And I think that the thing that stuck out the most was just the caliber of service that was there. You didn't want for anything. You didn't need anything. You didn't ever want to leave the resort. And we didn't venture out once. We really thought we were going to go on an excursion and, you know, take a ferry to Cozumel and, you know, do all these adventurous things. But when you're in a resort like that, you really don't want to leave. So we laid around for 5 days and ate food and drank drinks, and it was wonderful. So.
Was this your first experience with an all-inclusive resort?
No, this was our third all-inclusive resort. We've done a couple other ones in the past, but this was definitely the best one. And this is the first one we did with points. We paid cash for a couple before, which is a lot. Obviously, I think a lot of people know it's not a cheap vacation by any means, but when you get there, everything is included for you. And so, yeah, we've done all-inclusives in the Caribbean before and we loved them, but this was definitely a step up. So even considering how expensive it is in points per night, to me, it's still very, I would say still very worth it because of just the quality of everything there is just higher than, you know, a lot of other resorts that you're going to find. So yeah, it was well worth every point, and I would gladly spend the points again to go back. So
yeah, that's something that people don't realize with a lot of the different all-inclusive things is that you do get to eat at an all-inclusive buffet. It's not always the top tier, like nice dining with restaurants. Where with a lot of the Hyatt properties, you have so many all-inclusive brands to choose from with Hyatt. There's Hyatt Ziva, Hyatt Zilara, Zotri, Secrets, Breathless, Dreams, Hyatt Vivid Resorts, Allure Resorts, Sunscape Resorts. These are all listed on the Hyatt website. And it's a really, really nice way to knock out Hyatt Brand Explorer as well, where once you stay with 5 different Hyatt brands, then you get a free Category 1-4 certificate that you can use at different Hyatt hotel. If you just wanted to go resort hopping around Mexico, you have a ton of these options in Mexico. If you just pull up the Hyatt website or Hyatt app and then search Mexico, it'll show you all of the resorts and all of the hotel options for the entire country. Some of them are all-inclusives and some of them aren't, but some of them are very cheap. There's like the Hyatt Place in Los Cabos that I think is a Category 1 or 2 that can save you a ton of points if you wanted to do something like that. Or if you wanted to splurge more points and do some of these all-inclusive resorts, that's an option as well.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of great options with Hyatt. Like with Hyatt, obviously, when you pay with points, you don't pay any resort fees, which is also another huge plus. So you're saving right there. But also, you know, there are some of the all-inclusive resorts that are more like 20,000 points a night or 25,000 points a night, which is much more attainable, especially if you're a family and you're looking to book like, you know, one of the Hyatt Zivas. You know, the Hyatt Ziva Cancun obviously went up in points and that's more like 40,000 points a night, which can be a little bit harder, especially if you need 2 rooms. But we also booked Hyatt Ziva Los Cabos for next summer at 20,000 points a night, which is really reasonable for our family, considering it's going to be, you know, the property, the room, the experiences, and then like food and drink for all of us for the whole family. So there's still a lot of all-inclusive options that are really affordable. And honestly, you can end up paying less for an all-inclusive hotel room, like resort, than you do for some of these other like Park Hyatts, you know, which is obviously a really wonderful experience, but you can still find some really reasonable rates for the all-inclusive resorts, especially like the Zivas, like you mentioned, the Dreams and the Breathless. Those are all about the same price point as a lot of the Secrets resorts. And some of them are family friendly and, you know, some of them are adults only. So there really is a little bit of something for everyone. Like you said, you could go up and down Mexico and hit one of everything pretty much. So yeah, there are still a lot of options if you're not looking to spend as many points to still get that experience.
I can't believe we've already recorded more than 100 podcast episodes. It feels like we just started yesterday, but we've already covered so many great points and miles strategies on this show and have many more to come. If you're new to this show or looking to level up your points game quickly, I offer a bunch of resources at geobreezetravel.com/start here. It includes links to free consults, free trials to some of my favorite points tools, and also links to services like group coaching, which start at only $5 per session through the Patreon. Again, that's geobreezetravel.com/start here, which I have linked for you in the show notes.
Let's dive deeper into. You can't just cram 6 people into one of these all-inclusive rooms. It does cost more if you're adding more than 2 people. Can you talk a little bit more about that cost?
Yeah, so the cost you pay in points per night covers 2 people in the room. Anyone additional, you can either add with points or cash. So when I was booking our family of 4, I wanted to just reserve the room first with points to make sure that I locked in the points price before the Hyatt devaluation happened. So I paid 20,000 points a night for my husband and I. And then what I can do is I can either go in and I can call Hyatt basically. And before we go, I have 2 options. Before I go, I can call Hyatt and pay with points for each kid. So it'd be 10,000 points tonight, essentially half the room rate to add 1 child. So if I added 1 child, it'd be 10,000 points. 2 kids, it's going to be 20,000. So it effectively like doubles the cost of points for your room. Or you can opt to pay in cash, which sometimes just depends on the cents per point you're getting, the value you're getting, if it makes more sense to pay the 10,000 points or cash. So I could either pay in points ahead of time, or when I arrive, I can choose to pay with cash for each child per day. So per day, the rate for my kids are teenagers. So with Hyatt, they count children at the age of 12 and under, but once a child is over the age of 12, they're quoted at the adult price. So my 2 kids who are teenagers are considered adults for the purposes of the all-inclusive resort. I can either pay the 10,000 points or I can pay about $170 per day per kid for them to have that all-inclusive package. So I haven't decided what I'm doing yet or what would be a better value, because that is quite a bit per day, $170 per kid. But if you have young kids, it's usually closer to about $100 per day. So it makes a lot of sense if you have younger kids to just pay the cash rate. But with the older kids, since they're being counted as adults, it might just make more sense to pay the points. So those are our options. We can either do it ahead of time with points or pay and cash when we get there. But yeah, it's not like when you go to, you know, a Hyatt place and you stuff the 5th kid in there and hope that nobody knows about it, because they've got to eat, you know, so they're going to find out.
How many points did you say the base room was when you got there?
20,000 points. That was the standard rate per night. And then it's going up. It went up to 25,000 points per night. So still much more affordable than some of the other locations, especially like Cancun, that's 40,000 points a night now. So yeah, there's a lot of Hyatt Zivas that did go up, but are still pretty affordable. We could either do a second room if we really wanted to, and it would effectively be like the same price as just adding 2 kids with points. So it really just depends on what your preferences. Would you rather have 2 rooms and all spread out, or would you rather pay the cash rate and all stick to 1 room together? So there's at least a lot of options.
I'd be like, don't pay the price of just keeping everybody in 1 room if you're going to spend an extra 20,000 points anyway.
I know. Yeah. Especially if they can, you know, guarantee connecting rooms, which they can't do again, because the child's over 12. But if you could, that would be really nice to have like 2 connecting rooms. But yes, it would just make more sense to have a second room and all of us be able to spread out. So that's probably what we'll end up doing. I mean, unless I just feel like paying the cash rate instead. So it'll also depend on how many points I have at the time and how many points I'm saving for something else. So
was this the Hyatt Ziva in Los Cabos?
Yes. Yeah. So I've seen some people that went and just had a great time, because you hear about the Cancun location so much. I was really worried that the other ones wouldn't really stack up, but it looks really nice and we're excited to try it out. And it's such an easy, easy flight from Phoenix. It's like a little over 2 hours straight shot south. So it'll be really easy for our whole family to just fly Southwest right down there.
I'm amazed there was not a direct flight. I had to go through Phoenix or Los Angeles for me to get to Cabo, which I think was just ridiculous.
Seriously? Oh my gosh, that's really surprising, because yeah, that's a pretty easy route I would think that a lot of airlines would have.
Yeah, it would be a 3-hour direct flight. Like, but it doesn't really exist except for like. Avelo Air is one of the budget Mexican airlines that I definitely don't have any points with. So it's more tedious to fly from Las Vegas to Cabo than one would expect, but if you're in Phoenix, super easy.
Yeah, it is. We're really lucky. On the other hand, like trying to go to the Caribbean is really just not a great idea for us, especially with four people, because it's just so many points and there's always a lot of really tough connections and not great times and everything. So that was a lot of our decision-making process too. When we picked the last resort too, for just my husband and I, just it's so much easier for us to get to Mexico. And that's another thing that we factor into a lot of our trips. You know, how easy is it going to be to get there? Especially when you have multiple options, like we could go to, you know, a high all-inclusive resort in Mexico and it's really easy to get there. We could go to one in Cancun or in the Caribbean. It's much harder to get there. So that really factors into a lot of our decision-making because our points go so much farther. You know, when we are able to just spend 12,000 points on an easy one-way flight to get there, it makes a huge difference for us because then that just means there's points left over for another trip later on.
So we talked a little bit about devaluations and how with a lot of these resorts that we were talking about, whether it's the Hyatt Zila, Zilara, any of those, some of them went from 25,000 points per night to 40,000 points per night, which is crazy high, especially like you mentioned, if you have to book multiple rooms for your family of more than two people. What advice do you have for people when it comes to facing devaluations? And should they just burn all their points immediately? Should they try to time this somehow? What would you say to people who are really afraid of the devaluations?
I would say, number one, you can't be afraid of it because it's just a fact of life. It happens every year. And sometimes there's just a lot of devaluations that hit a lot harder. I think this year was a big one because of those all-inclusives that really shot up in price. And I think that's where it hits the families really hard, you know, because those are some of those big family destinations. So don't be afraid of it. Sometimes I just have to remind myself, I am so lucky to have points at all to be able to do any of these travels. So whether I can't get my top choice hotel and I have to go to a different one, or I have to pay 5,000 more points a night, like I'm still just lucky to be able to have the travels that we have. So plan ahead. Obviously, I really live by the earn and burn method. I don't pool my points unless I know I need to pool them for like one big purchase or something. Like if I'm spending 125,000 points in one chunk, then sure, I'll save them up. But when a sign up bonus hits or when my points post, I almost always know where they're going to go in a matter of a day or two. You know, I'm booking another hotel night, or I'm, you know, transferring them to an airline for to finish, you know, positioning flight booking or something like that. So I really live by that. And that's why when the devaluation happened, I wasn't really panicked. I wasn't worried because I just thought to myself, well, if I can book something, great. And I was able to book Los Cabos for next summer, which is really far out. So I was able to make that work. And that was, you know, I had the points. I had enough points to make it work, which was great. But if not, then I would have known. I know that just something else will be coming around the corner. There's always going to be another devaluation. There's always going to be another transfer bonus. There's always going to be another increased sign-up bonus. And, you know, when you're in the points and miles world long enough, you know that you don't have to panic about missing an opportunity because there's going to be another one and maybe an even better one. You know, maybe you'll be glad you didn't get that card because something better is, you know, around the corner, or maybe you're glad you didn't reserve that hotel because you found something that works better for your plans. So don't panic, use your points as you get them, and then you won't be stuck with this big decision at devaluation time of where can I put my points.
Great tips. And like you mentioned, sometimes rates get better. So during that time in March where Hyatt devalued a lot of its rates and Hyatt Ziva went up in price a lot, there were a lot of hotels where they said, let's go ahead and reduce the number of points required at these hotels, which is great too. That happens every year where they just assess where people are going and spending their points and where people aren't going. And they have to reprice. That's just how economics works. And I know that when, as a customer of the points world, we're all just like, oh my god, they took our sweet spots. The ones that everybody talks about, yeah, that's what made it a sweet spot is because it was outsized value. And so if we're seeing that, Hyatt is definitely seeing that from their end too, where they're saying, we're losing a little bit of money here from everybody who is booking this on this all-inclusive resort for only 25,000 points. I know it's a little bit disappointing from our side as hotel consumers, but it should be expected. And so whenever you're reading through blogs and watching videos or looking through Instagram and people are talking about all the different sweet spots that you can find with points, those aren't always going to be around. Like, I think one of the sweetest sweet spots was you could fly ANA first class, which was like a $20,000 flight for 55,000 points one way if you transfer your points to Virgin Atlantic. And they recently devalued that, and now it's going to a little bit more depending on whether you're in Hawaii or on the West Coast or on the East Coast, possibly up to like a 40 or something percent increase. I think it's going to cost 85,000 instead of 55,000 if you're on the East Coast, and new opportunities do come and go.
Yeah, that's such a great reminder. And even when you think about, like, yes, it might not be as sweet of a sweet spot anymore, there's still sweet spots. Like, there's still really good deals, you know, like when you think about what you're spending in points versus what you could be spending in cash, like, it's still such a great deal. So, like you said, you know, the points might increase and that's just natural, but, you know, there's always going to be another sweet spot to find or a sweet spot to book. And yeah, I do think Hyatt, like you said, was really realizing how much people were taking advantage of the points and miles and their rewards. And so that's, you know, naturally why the devaluation happened. You know, like that resort I booked in Mexico, the Secrets Resort, it was over $1,300 a night and I got it for 25,000 points. So it makes perfect sense that they raised it, you know, to 50,000 points a night to really align with how much it costs for that experience. So it might not be a sweet spot, but there's still great redemptions that you can find. And around the world ticket for 85,000 points, I still call that a sweet spot.
Absolutely. And even if it's not getting 20 cents per point like some people on the internet get, we like to remind people on this show that if you are saving thousands of dollars on trips you were going to take anyway by using points, even if you're just getting a cent and a half on your redemptions, you're doing great. You are winning and you are doing better than 90% of people when it comes to traveling.
Absolutely. That's such a great mindset too, because we really get caught like in the comparison game, especially like on Instagram. It's so easy to compare yourself and say, oh my gosh, like they booked this for like 8 cents per point and my redemption isn't that great and I'm not going the places they're going. But like comparison is just like the thief of joy. Don't compare yourself to someone else. And there, you know, they might be at, you know, they might have been doing this for 10 years or they might have just found a really great sweet spot, you know, but be happy with what you can achieve and what you've accomplished, because it really is amazing. Like if you're new to travel hacking and you're figuring it out and you're getting signup bonuses, like if you're taking one free trip, like that's amazing, right? Like that's one more free trip than you took before. And you're learning about a whole different world because it is a lot to absorb. And there is a lot of really good information out there and there's a lot you can learn. So yeah, I try and live by that. Like don't compare my, you know, trips to somebody else's because I'm still going on a wonderful experience myself. And so I just have to be like thankful for that and thankful that I have more time with my kids and my family. And yeah, just be grateful for the points that you have, because like you said, you're still saving thousands of dollars, whether it's 1 cent per point or five.
For sure. Great advice. And with all the knowledge you have amassed for points and miles, what would you say is your best piece of advice out of all the advice that you have that we can fit into an Instagram quote card?
I would say my best advice is to find what works for you as far as your points and miles strategy, because there are so many strategies you can follow. And some people are opening up cards every 30, 60, 90 days. And some people are using two cards per year to, you know, earn a lot of points. And there's a lot of middle ground. So find what works best for you. Follow multiple people on Instagram. Don't just look at one perspective of travel hacking, because that might not be the best one for you. You know, follow lots of different perspectives and take little bits from everyone that aligns with your own goals, because travel hacking will only work for you if you make it your own and you make it your own with your goals and your family in mind and your spend and your budget. It's really important to just make sure that what you're doing is going to work for you long term. If you just follow one person's advice and you follow the travel hacking path that they've laid down, it might not work for you. It might be too fast or it might be too, you know, you might not have the budget for it or the monthly spend, and that's fine. So find your own goals for your travel hacking to make sure that you can do this long term and really take those free trips and still be financially, you know, responsible and make choices that you're not going to see your credit score dipping. You're not going to find yourself in debt because you didn't find out how to make this work for you.
And speaking of great tips, can you give shout outs to a couple of other people on the internet who you recommended following for more points and miles tips?
Yeah, Melissa's Travel Addiction. She's fantastic. She has a family of five. She actually lives here in Arizona. I know her well. We get together and chat all things points and miles, which is really wonderful to have that community around here. She recently just took her whole family of five to Italy. They flew on Emirates in business class, which it is a huge redemption to be able to make that work for a family of five. Like that's no small feat. It was seriously impressive. If you have a big family, she's really great at giving you tips on how to travel with, you know, all your kids. And even in business class, you know, I'd never thought it'd be possible to travel a big family in business class on points like that, but she made it work and it's really impressive. So yeah, I think she's a great one to follow. And then also one of my other Arizona girls, Lori's Travel Hacks. She also has a big family and really does some amazing trips with them. She knows how to leverage her points for road trips and, you know, smaller destinations and bigger trips like Hawaii and things like that. So she's really great at how she manages her points, and she takes special trips with, you know, one of her kids here and there, and knows how to really make those memories with her family. And I love to see that, the way that they both have very different styles, but really teach you how you can take really amazing trips with your family on points.
Perfect. And where can we find you on the internet?
I'm at Packed with Points on Instagram, and that is where you'll find me. I love just getting to know my audience. So if you ever want to send me a DM, send me any questions, I am so happy to hear about your travel goals, because I love to live vicariously through you and hear all these wonderful places that you're going and just help make it possible, because there really is a way to hack anything. I truly believe that you can hack any trip if you try hard enough.
Thank you again so much for coming on to the show and share with us your amazing experiences with all-inclusive resorts.
Thank you so much. This was really fun. I love talking points and miles with you, Julia. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!